The theater director and sometime actor Andre Gregory is a willing talker.
What part of the city are you in?
We met by phone, of course, and we'd barely started the conversation when he began to share his very emphatic opinion of the glamorous French capital where he was born in the 1930s.
But I hate Paris.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't like the buildings, the food, or the people.
Really? Even the food, huh?
Too rich for me.
An improbable comment, like a lot of things he says. Is he just being a contrarian?
No.
No,
I still dislike
him.
And he found me a forest, Wally. And the only inhabitants of this forest were some wild boar and a hermit. So that was an offer I couldn't refuse. I had to go. So I went to Poland.
Gregory has done a lot of memorable work in the theater, though moviegoers might still remember him best from his role as a character named Andre in the film My Dinner with Andre, early 80s, a long feature-length dinner conversation between Andre and a friend.
Technically, the situation is a very interesting one.
That low-budget dinner presented viewers with large portions of ambiguity. Was it a drama? A documentary? Were these characters real?
Stanislavski said the actor should constantly ask himself as a character, who am I? Why am I here? Where do I come from? And where am I going?
More on that in a minute. Paris-born Andre Gregory's wealthy parents brought him to America, Hollywood to be exact, where he grew up wandering through their lavish parties among movie stars and cultural icons. After college, he discovered the theater, directed several ensemble plays, and founded his own experimental theater company, the Manhattan Project, in the late 60s. And he dove into a journey of self-discovery and exploration in faraway places such as Tibet and India. He tells us about all this in his memoir, which he calls This Is Not My Memoir. His embrace of the ambiguous is the clearest thing about him.
Yeah, right.
And this he happily admits.
Everything is very ambiguous in life. You know, we try to make careers, we try to have love affairs, but then we all die. How ambiguous is that?
For him, the partner of uncertainty and ambiguity has been precision. When he was about 12, he says, he had a spiritual awakening at Radio City Music Hall. When the Rockettes danced onto the stage with their incredible precision, Gregory writes in his book, I thought I was having a vision. For a moment, I touched the divine.
I think there's beauty in precision. All of my productions in the theater were a balance between precision and improvisation, order and chaos.
Can you think of an example of that?
Alice in Wonderland, which seemed wildly improvisational.
Even though the truth is, Gregory's celebrated Alice production was in rehearsal for some number of years, which is an Andre Gregory tradition. It opened in 1970 as a kind of savage nursery tale, with a physical and acrobatic tension, too.
Many of the things that people did in Alice were potentially dangerous if the other person weren't there to sometimes literally catch them. So I guess you could say it gets to the heart of relationship, of trusting that the other person will be there for you.
That idea brings to mind Andre Gregory's close relationship with writer and actor Wallace Shawn, a creative partner.
For a long time, 50 years.
Gregory refers to himself, tall, and Mr. Shawn, smaller, as the Abbott and Costello of the avant-garde. The two have worked on many of Shawn's plays together, with Gregory directing, and with a trademark meeting of absurdist humor and political foreboding.
And we talked from midnight until 11 the next morning.
God, what did he say?
Nothing. I talked. He didn't say a word.
It was Wallace Shawn who first hatched the idea for the aforementioned long-filmed conversation that turned into a breakout art house movie hit, which was the last thing anybody expected from My Dinner with Andre, complete with music by Satie, directed by Louis Malle, and released in 1981.
And now a success over 40 years.
The early reviews were kind of clueless. A lot of critics didn't really get it. Then Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert, Siskel, tall, Ebert, shorter, sort of the Abbott and Costello of film critics, actually, spent a whole segment of their television show Sneak Previews on that film.
It's my dinner with Andre.
They were mad about it.
I was watching this scene. I didn't want it to end. I didn't want to come back to the show and have to talk about the movie.
Now, what are the
qualities? Now, what are the qualities?
Because I think this shows us at least where we critics stand for something, because this is what I want films to be like.
Two men talking about two men talking. Siskel and Ebert's review of Andre and Wally put the film on the map in the days when such a thing was possible.
But has it ever occurred to you, Wally, that the process that creates this boredom that we see in the world now may very well be a self-perpetuating, unconscious form of brainwashing?
When you see My Dinner with Andre, it, like the memoir, inspires questions. The big one being, what is this I'm watching?
It's actually a drama disguised as a documentary.
It was compiled from tapes of conversations Gregory and Wally Shawn had over time. Then Shawn edited and structured them into a script, which Gregory painfully memorized word for word, even though originally they were his own words.
For 9 months, early every morning, I would get up and work on it for 4 or 5 hours. It was a monumental task.
Slippery, ambiguous, but one thing about ambiguity, it's flexible.
What is interesting is how art can change for the times in which it lives, because now My Dinner with Andre, from beginning to end, is a critique of capitalism and a fear of approaching fascism. It saw what was coming.
In Gregory's book, This Is Not My Memoir, he argues for something else that is relevant to our own trying moment.
There's an ongoing theme in the book. The tenacity and determination are everything. You must hang in there.
Which leads me to the thought that with all its twists, turns, and free associations, this is not an interview. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.